It's Hollywood Movies.
It's BGN at the movies.
It's a picture.
Okay, so we're back with BGN at the movies. That's its tentative title.
Yeah, until we come up with something.
I like it.
Actually, I like BGN at the movies, to be honest.
BGN at the movies.
Right there, you don't even need to brainstorm me. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we thought with all the releases coming out recently, you know, there was the Gray. What else is there?
Journey 2.
That was it.
The Gray, yeah. The Gray was really the only thing worth seeing.
We have Liam Neeson, Little Nielsen, and Liam Nielsen. Which one do you want to see?
Liam Neeson punches
Wolves. I think Liam Neeson
appeared
in the
Liam Neeson. Yeah, pretty much.
The Vow was another one. And what was that one? The Miracle?
The
one with the stupid whales being saved.
Ugh.
That's like, why?
Okay, well, long story short, Sean and I were having a really hard time trying to figure out
about Liam Neeson.
Here's the thing. We both had two separate experiences, which I will discuss later, but first I want to get your reaction.
Okay, well, we had a hard time discussing what our first movie review should be, because this is the first movie review where Sean and I are reviewing it together instead of I'm reviewing it and then Sean's just giving me his 2 cents on it. Well, we figured, well, with there being a very popular movie series being re-released in the theaters and the both of us having varying opinions on it,
yes,
we decided this is probably the best one to go ahead and start with. So, without further ado, here is my review of Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
In 3D.
In the third dimension.
Yes. Okay, now...
See, I did the wrong tune, so we don't have to pay for the song.
Well, anyway... Here's my thing. This movie came out in 1999, and it's now, what, 12, 13, 13 years since it was first released?
Yeah.
Math is so hard!
Hey, Mo, you can't do the math!
That's why we're podcasters.
I think it's a little under 13.
I miss when Ewoks didn't blink.
A little under 13. Anyway, so... Anybody who's been following this whole debacle about the re-release into theaters, it's okay. There are two things that really need to be said right before we start this review. Okay, one, we can't really review it in the sense that, you know, we could come up with something original. Everything that's been said about this movie has already been said, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not going to stop you.
No, not really.
Well. It's the internet. Everything's already been done before.
Yeah, pretty much. The thing is, I like this movie, okay? I mean, yeah, it doesn't hold a candle to the original trilogy, as it's been stated over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad film. I will definitely say that this is one of the weaker of the original trilogy. I mean, not the original trilogy. One of the weaker of the prequel trilogy.
Best lightsaber fight.
It's got the best lightsaber fight. Yeah, let's do this. Let's get the positive things out of the way first. That way it makes the shittier things easier to point out. Okay, one, Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson kicks so much ass in this movie.
He had to say something about mini nuts or something, mini clary.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Mini Toblerones or whatever he's talking about.
We'll get to that bit.
I don't know what they were called.
I think he was talking about mini chlorine tablets.
Oh, like mini chlorine tablets.
Yeah.
Like what you put in a pool.
And he said they float around or something.
Yeah, something like that.
They're very light.
We'll get to the science in
Guys,
this a little bit later.
Guys, that's how Qui-Gon keeps his pool so clean.
Yeah. also, it's probably got the most badass villain,
Force.
Too. Let's be honest. Darth Maul was probably the best villain of the prequel trilogy.
Rosebud.
I mean, it sucks, though, that they had to kill him in the first movie.
I think it was awesome how he was killed, though.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, I think there's a rule in Star Wars that the less lines a character has, the more badass they are to fans. Hence, Darth Maul and Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I would say also that had one of the better soundtracks to it. Duel of the Fates is still, without a doubt, one of the best pieces in Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, John Williams that particular piece had a refrain that just...
Yeah, John Williams brought his A game.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ewan McGregor is pretty good as well.
Yeah,
I would say his performance in episode 3, with the exception of when he's trying not to laugh at the dialogue he has to give, I would say that, yeah, episode...
He definitely copied, like, say, Al Guinness's, like, you know, I don't give a shit right now.
Yeah. Case.
Yeah, that was, yeah, from in episode, 3. In the first one, episode, yeah, you can see 6. He's still trying to act. But it's in, like, episode 3
so
where,
the
you
Emperor
know,
has already won. Cut. I don't give a shit about this movie.
I think Ewan McGregor in the new trilogy does fine in all the parts that he doesn't have to try and make a stupid joke. Because for some reason, Lucas decided that Obi-Wan should be the comic relief.
Well, because, you know, Liam Neeson couldn't have pulled comic
relief
off.
Well, no.
You were right about one thing. The negotiations were short.
Like, as soon as he said that, I was just like, oh, really?
I told you I hate flying.
Anyway, but, so, there's
I
that.
I hate snakes. I hate them.
Yes. So, let's point out, alright, so let's oh, go ahead and point out the bad stuff. Okay. One, midichlorians.
Midichlorine tablets.
We're gonna call them midichlorine tablets.
We doesn't even have the decency.
Alright, yes, sir. Alright, so midichlorine tablets. We already know the reason why we hate that. It basically took something that was supposed to be mystical and, you know, elusive to us.
Something that was elusive and vague and applied to everybody's belief system and reaches beyond just beyond science, beyond like it was a fantasy. It was the whole reason fantasy. Star Wars was popular in the first place.
And then he
killed it with one set of lines. I don't know whether that's talent, pure talent, or pure idiocracy. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like if he did that on purpose, like, I bet you I can kill this whole force thing because I'm tired of people talking about it. People are getting way too nuts over it. Maybe I could just ruin it with one line. I mean, if he did it on purpose, that's amazing. Like, that's genius. But I think he was just, like, some Scientologist, you know. Maybe it's things living inside our body, like a bacteria.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, my God. That is definitely Scientology. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Little aliens living in your body.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, in my opinion...
What are the things called in Scientology that you're...
Thetans.
They even kind of sounded like midichlorians.
Yeah,
Thetans.
I think it is. I think a Scientologist had his ways in the movie because they're really big in Hollywood right now.
Okay, well, here, let me
and they were really big in Hollywood. That the boom, the Scientology boom, started right when they were filming that.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Sean. I actually think that the midichlorian tablets are the bigger affront to fans. Like, everybody, like, most people, like, when they cite why episode 1 was so bad, they cite Jar Jar. And for good reason. He was horrible. But to the true fans, Jar Jar was not nearly as offensive as the midichlorian tablets.
Because it did, like I said before, it did degrade it. It took something that was pure and like a sacred thing. The whole reason Star Wars got popular is because the movies that came out during then were very pessimistic and very down, very too real.
Yeah.
And if you look at the movies that came around then, you're like, wow. And then you see Star Wars, it's very hopeful, it's very fantasy, and there's something called the Force, there's something for you to hope for and to look up to and believe in. Like, it was... It pulled like that childhood essence, that pureness, like that, what you call it? I don't want to say faith.
No, I do, because I was going to say I think the fundamental difference between Star Wars and Star Trek comes down to the faith versus science thing. I mean,
yeah,
Star Wars is about faith in a power that you can't understand and aren't supposed to, whereas Star Trek is
Star Trek is
for people who like
it's that make believe, yeah. And it's the whole reason you go to the movies to get entertained. To drag yourself away from like just the mundane everyday life.
Yeah, and so, like, when you basically
and then you're just like, well, it's mini. What are midichlorians?
Yeah,
as he says with the scrunched up nose.
When you make the argument that Jedi powers are a sexually transmitted
Anakin Skywalker. All right, enough of that. But because we already made our point about that.
To Anakin Skywalker, played by Jake Lloyd.
Oh God.
Oh, here's the thing, Jake Lloyd. The kid staring into the sun or he was eating lemons off set. Like, he's squinting all the time. And, you know, it's just like,
he's got one expression.
Are you an angel?
He's got one expression.
I see angels. Are you an angel?
Like,
you live on the moon.
It was so perverted.
I think.
It really was.
No. You think that's preferred? Let's try to remember.
Haley Joel Osment could have played a 10 times, but and he applied for the same job.
Yeah, here's what creeps me out still. The way that George Lucas wrote that script, Padme was like, what, 18? And Anakin was like 9?
Yeah.
And they fell in love with each other?
Or had like a brother?
That didn't make sense. It felt like...
Got something here.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's exactly the same relationship as the original 4, 5, and 6, the whole brother and sister kind of thing. You get that kind of, if you really look
that
at it,
that creepy vibe.
That creepy brother sister vibe. Like, oh, you're like an older sister to me. But then in a way, I'm kind of like attracted to you. There's like this incestual connection in there.
I have something that will blow your mind.
Oh, yeah?
Padme is the female Woody Allen.
What? All right, yeah, I can believe that.
Oh, okay.
Wait, Sean,
you think
that blows
Anakin.
Your mind? I got one for you.
They're both dating young people.
Yeah. Well, here's something I want to
bring up. They both end up marrying.
Here's something I wanted to bring up. Right before I went to go see Star Wars in 3D, somebody brought up to me this speech that George Lucas had actually gone before Congress in 1988. Because apparently Ted Turner had bought like the rights to a lot of like old films, and was
like Flash Gordon and stuff.
No, like Flash Gordon, The Maltese Falcon, like a lot of classic films, right?
Like Seven Samurai.
Yeah, well, he was basically planning to colorize all of them, right?
Wow.
To like update them, right? So apparently, there's this whole special session of Congress called, like George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, you know, a lot of like directors showed up. And we're saying, like, you guys cannot do this. This is not acceptable, right? And I bring this up because it's a very interesting comparison to George back in the 80s and George today. I'm going to read an excerpt from it, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. My name is George Lucas. I'm a writer, director, and producer of motion pictures and chairman of the board of Lucasfilm Ltd., a multifaceted entertainment corporation. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, here we go. People who alter or destroy works of art and our cultural heritage for profit or as an exercise of power are barbarians. And if the laws of the United States continue to condone this behavior, history will surely classify us as a barbaric society. The preservation of our cultural heritage may not seem to be as politically sensitive as an issue of when life begins or when it should be appropriately terminated, but it is important when it goes to the heart of what sets mankind apart. Creative expression is the core of our humanness. And yes, he says humanness instead of humanity, but whatever. Art is a distinctly human endeavor, and we must have respect for it if we are to have any respect for the human race. This is where it gets good, because this is where
I really want to hear this in the George Lucas voice.
Sean, would you like to do it in the George Lucas voice?
Hand me a laptop.
Or I can do it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't have to start over, just do the rest of it.
These current defacements are just the beginning. Today, engineers with their computers can add color to these black and white movies, change the soundtracks, speed up the pace, or add and subtract material to the philosophical taste of the copyright holder. Tomorrow, more advanced technologies will be able to replace actors with fresher faces, or alter dialogue and change the movements of the actor's lips to match.
Whoa.
It will soon be possible to create a new original negative with whatever changes or alterations the copyright holder of the movement desires. The copyright holders so far have not been able to have not been completely diligent in preserving the original negatives of films they control. In order to reconstruct old negatives, many archivists have had to go to Eastern Bloc countries where American films have been better preserved. And I read through this, and I'm like,
"Whoa, that was clap for at that George Lucas impersonation."
That was great.
I'm like, "Oh, wow, that was pretty good." And he had like the head bob,
gobble gobble,
the feed corn head bob. It was pretty good.
Oh my god! And I was like,
but the thing is, like, the one comment I could make about this, I'm gonna pull a quote from Hook. Peter, you're a pirate. Like, he totally switched around.
Peter, you became a pirate.
You became a pirate. Like, He became the very thing he was as sworn against. It's like the whole thing. The whole thing needs to be a movie. Like, just based on his life.
You have, I mean, here's the funny thing, right? As soon as I saw this speech, I was like, I seriously want to start a campaign against George Lucas and then just show this video to see what a hypocrite he's become. But then somebody made a very good point to me. Because what happened was they put like an element of the act that they were trying to pass through in order to circumvent this. They passed an act through, but it didn't apply to film as they were trying to get it to. So basically their description was, what if George Lucas is some sort of evil genius, and when the Congress wronged the filmmaking community like they did, what if this was his way of getting back at them? It's like, here, I created this wonderful, wonderful thing for the world to see, but now since you've dicked over our entire way of making films, I'm gonna go ahead and totally fuck you guys over by destroying what I made. I'm like,
wow.
That makes him sound like a supervillain, but
that's
like,
deep.
Well, yeah, I mean, because basically everything he says in this speech, you know, that
I don't think he's that
clever.
I don't think he's
he
that
could
clever.
Be. Who knows?
But see, that's the thing, though. That's what I mean,
I hope not.
I thought originally,
now.
But listen,
I mean, he could do it for because like he recently he was on the Oprah Winfrey Network, which she's not retired. I don't know why she needs to go away. Anyways, Oprah was interviewing him, and he was like, I never got to experience Star Wars as a fan. I, you know, like the people in the theater, I was backstage and I couldn't really enjoy it the way it was meant to be enjoyed. So I missed out on the part of that. And part of me while listening to this, I'm thinking like, all right, just go dive Scrooge McDuck style into your pile of money.
Seriously.
and leave us the fuck
alone. You have
alone.
A theater in your house. Right. You're richer than God.
Right.
Wait. Oh, wait. Here, guys.
God's like, can I borrow your PS3? Anyway.
Yeah, God's
and then,
like, can
then,
I come
then,
watch
then they had like an issue with his son, and he's like, well, so what about? I was like, what about your son? And he goes, well, he's on his own, and I'm gonna give you a car. I pay for your college. Your job is to go to college, and you know, if you need, and you're on your own. And if you need any help from me, I'll possibly look into it if it's something in it for me. But I'm not going to help you because I'm rich. You're not. Direct quote. You can go look it up. Oprah Winfrey, George Lucas interview, and it'll be there. And you'll be like, okay, what the fuck?
Well, and here's the thing. Here's what burns me the most, right? In the subsequent years since those movies got released, you know, he's always stated that the prequel trilogies were originally written when he wrote the first film.
Right.
Right? And that, you know, it wasn't something he wrote, you know, as a result for his kids, but he wanted to make so that his kids could get into Star Wars like, you know, our generation got into Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember that being like a direct, like, I remember that being the gist of why he said he was making these films, right?
Yeah.
But then when, you know, you look at it and he goes back and he keeps rehashing all the old stuff, it's like everything he said in this speech, you know, he completely just turned, he did a complete 180 on, and it's just like, you know, oh, it's, you know, like, don't change the soundtrack. Well, they changed the soundtrack.
And
don't
the problem
add
is
track material to the philosophical taste of the copyright holder. They did that.
Also like, added lots of racist stereotypes.
Oh yeah,
characters.
Not only that. I was like, oh yeah, it's like don't replace actors with fresher faces or alter dialogue and change the movement of actors' lips to match. And they did that too.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did everything he said he wouldn't do, right?
Yeah.
But like the thing is, the whole problem with George Lucas and the beginning from the get go, from after he made Star Wars and then when he started doing his prequels, is that he doesn't have any variety. I mean, like the last good movie, with the exception of Star Wars, that he did, that there was just two
Willow.
Of them that I really like.
Willow.
Well, yeah, Willow. And which was a fantasy one, but American Graffiti,
very good,
and THX 1138, and yeah. I'm talking about his college student film, his black and white college student film, which was really good, and he didn't really ascertain any variety. I mean, granted, he tried out on Willow and succeeded somewhat. I mean, it could have went worse, but he didn't keep on pursuing avenues. He didn't do anything. You know, he said, like, he changes stuff to for his kids. Martin Scorsese, it was like, well, I'll just make another movie. And he just went out and made Hugo. And then that's now nominated for an Academy Award.
My theory is that George Lucas is so incredibly insecure that once he made Star Wars, he was like, I'm never going to top this. I'll never be able to make a movie that people enjoy as much as Star Wars. So I'll just keep making Star Wars. And I'm like, there's the reason I'm never going to see any Star Wars re-releases in theaters, because I'm sorry, if you want me to continue giving you money, you have to make new work. You have to put out new work. I'm not going to buy like a that's why, the same reason I don't buy re-releases of albums either. I don't believe in doing that.
It's something like, I see like my painting right there. I'm not going to add to it. I like it the way it is. I framed it. I put a Klesa glass over it. I'm not going to undo it and touch it up, even though like right after I was done, I wanted to, before it went into the art show. And then I want to honorable mention. I was like, okay, that's fine. I kind of wanted to go in and improve it and then resubmit it again. But then I was like, well, I wouldn't want to do that. It's something where you don't touch what, you know, once you're done, you're done. There's a point, and when you're like saying like art, even like music, as you're editing it or as you're completing the project, that you see is a point where you just need to drop and be done.
Yeah. Otherwise, walk you turn away. Otherwise, you turn into Brian Wilson.
And just be. Oh. It's something. It's like a bird. You just gotta let it go. Let it okay, free. Let's well, do it. Do
I got,
something.
I got one
live
final
its own
thing
life.
To say, at least for me. It's like he's treating him like a mistress. You know, he keeps him giving it a new boob job every time he gets old and ratty.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. It's like his woman.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say a couple more things, and then I think we're going to go ahead and
wrap up.
All right. A couple things that, I mean, I'll say this much about episode 1 in 3D. It had a lot more 3D than a lot of 3D films I've seen nowadays, and that's mostly because, like, 80% of the film is done in CG. Which I know Sean had an issue with, but I'm like, I mean, it's a 3D movie, so I mean, that was kind of what was expected.
Yeah, well, we had an issue with Yoda, and we're not going to go on to that because we already argued about this before, and we already reached consensus that, you know, it's...
Sean preferred CGI Yoda, I prefer the old puppet Yoda. I mean, really, it's really all just a matter of aesthetic taste at this point.
Yeah, and it's the argument's minuscule.
Actually, the funny thing was, Zach and I were talking about it in the theater. Zach was one of the champions of our.
How's Zach didn't like it, probably.
Zach and I had like a similar opinion, is that, you know, we weren't huge fans of the CGI Yoda, but we would acquiesce that, you know, the puppet Yoda. I mean, now it's sort of like now in place with the other two films, so I guess it all makes sense.
Well, they didn't do a bad job. They didn't do a shit job on it.
No. I was more because I hadn't seen the Blu-ray version of Episode 1, so I did not know that they had replaced Yoda, the puppet Yoda, with a CGI Yoda.
I didn't know either until I went to the theater.
Right, yeah. Apparently they had done that with the Blu-ray release. I didn't know that. So this was my first experience.
Oh, yeah, I gotta tell you about my experience.
Oh, okay.
Ben, you can go on it, because I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, how about you guys talk about that, and then we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that real quick, and you have the outlines of it, so... All
right. Oh, you want me to go with it? Okay.
Yeah, you go with it.
So basically, I knew Sean was going to do this review on this movie, and it was Monday, right, that we went?
Yeah, it was Monday, so we went in.
Yeah, so we went. I texted him basically, hey, do you want to go see a movie? You want to go see this movie so you can get the review done? He's like, sure. So we go there. This is at Westview Stadium 16, I think that's what they call it.
It's in Frederick, Regal. Maryland. Yeah, Frederick, we're in the Maryland movie.
But anyways, overall experience, kind of mild, really. But we get in there, we watch the movie, and I'm putting up with just seeing... I almost fell asleep through the movie, because I've seen the movie before. There really wasn't anything
new. We were making
new.
Comments to each other.
Yeah, we were making comments, we were laughing. Actually, Sean was laughing more than anybody else in the theater, and there was actually quite a few people there.
How surprising.
No, yeah. Well,
Sean laughing at stuff.
Yeah.
It's so surprising, isn't it? I know.
Prior to this, I told Sean, do you mind if I actually start talking in this? Because I've seen this movie before, you and I have seen it. There's really nothing new that... they could have possibly done to the movie to change anything, to lose anything on the storyline. I've seen this movie like a million times, plays all the time on TV, especially right. I think it's on Spike.
Yeah, I mean, it really, I mean, once you've seen a Viceroy, you've seen a
yeah,
Viceroy.
And yeah, to be honest with you...
Once you've seen a fat Jewish flying stereotype.
To be honest with you, the 3D
Wado was definitely a Jewish.
The 3D effect...
He had a...
Oh, he did?
That was in the
I thought he was
one.
Italian.
Okay.
That was in the second one, not
okay.
the first one.
But anyways, the 3D effect in this movie...
Yeah, Watto's in the second one, too. Watto's wearing the yarmulke.
Okay.
In the second one. Sorry.
Tangents here.
Sorry.
The 3D effect in this movie was all right. It wasn't a movie that was ever intended to be shot in 3D in the first place. They just went in and added it, which you can tell. I actually was flipping my glasses on and off throughout the movie to see where they actually they did it. And it like as it's been stated before, a lot of it's in the background than the foreground. There are some of the important... conversational pieces where they do a lot of the major parts of the movie. They did do the foreground.
Well, that being said, what happened?
All right, what happened? Let's get to the biggest.
What happened was is that it was I think 3/4 of the way through the movie. The movie started like jittering. We noticed it was
right when
first.
In the hallway scene where they're shooting down that huge corridor. You just hear choo choo choo. And it stays at one. It stays at one frame.
Jittering.
And it's like, and we're like. What the? This is not part of the movie. And then immediately, I made people crack up behind me because I was going, started doing the beat,
and like, I was ready to get up and start dancing.
And then, everyone like really didn't have a sense of humor about it. Apparently, they were really into it, and I wasn't.
Yeah. So about four or five people actually. First off, one dude in the back walked off, and then about four or five other people walked off and complained about it. Then about. Maybe 5 minutes later, 5 to 6 minutes later, this scrawny-looking woman with glasses comes in. Looks like she's like the lower class of the employees, just sent in to take care of everybody.
Well, you don't have to.
And then finally they switched off.
Really
finally
was.
They
it
muted it. Finally they muted it, so we didn't have to hear it.
Yeah, and the funny thing was, you can hear them talking. You can hear them having conversation. Did you get it fixed yet? Did you hit the right button? I don't know which button to hit. Like the people
like
that were actually trying to.
Several
work on
people
it.
Are walking down the aisle, like walking down the aisle stairs and going around, and like go, and they have these mad faces, like you know, like they put mayo in their sandwich when they didn't ask for no mayo. Like, you know, stuff like that.
But speaking of this theater, though, the staff there, they didn't know what the hell they were doing because I can hear on their conversations and talking, like, they didn't know which button to push, what to do at all. It's like they didn't have the technician there to fix the problem. Then they got locked out of the computer, supposedly.
We have
they
the technology.
Have the password
we just don't
or whatever
have
to get
to
in
there
to fix it. They were like, we can't fix the movie. So we're going to give you an option. You guys can stay here tonight and pick another movie. You can watch any of the other movies. Doesn't matter how long
and
you stay. Or you can watch them all, they said. That they're there, that are playing currently tonight, for free.
But they're all
and you could get free movie tickets.
So okay. they.
So Sean said two, and the lady kind of ignored me afterwards because I wanted to get buy two free tickets. So he gave me one of his, and I was like, I wanted two too because really, in the way, I kind of lost out.
Yeah.
If you think about it, if you were to spend gas money and go there, you still lost money. And I was like, two tickets would have been more than enough. He just said two. I would have said a whole handful because a lady right before us was like, I need five for my whole family. And so she got five. And I was like, why couldn't I get five, really? Because we went there. We sat
because at that point, once they've fucked up that badly, they're going to do whatever they can.
I don't know. I'm not good in those situations. I asked for two. I was going
to
grab
to be honest
with you. I was going to grab for myself. I was waiting for you. And apparently, she wasn't given anymore.
Yeah, after that, she kind of like snubbed me. And I was like, I didn't get anything.
Well, because you were looking at the movie list.
Well, yeah, because I wanted to see if it was there anything worth actually staying afterwards or playing.
It was just like the gray and Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
well, you always got to watch Liam Neeson punch wolves for an hour.
Yeah, with Glass Fist. I thought that would have been quite.
I already saw Liam Neeson, and plus I had to go to work at my new job earlier.
And I was like, "What? We got to see a free movie here, and I can make fun of it." You know.
So anyway, we got comp for the tickets. Just the thing is, it cut right as the battle was happening. So that's a sad.
We missed all the good parts of the movie.
The good part I was waiting for that was sitting through all the bullshit.
God, that's awful.
Yeah. So
because the only redeeming part of the movie comes at the very end.
But here's a good thing. Here's a good thing. I went home, watched it on DVD.
How's that a good thing? Bum 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 bum.
Hey, I got to see a lightsaber fight. I didn't miss anything.
Okay.
That's a good thing about re-releasing something. Alrighty. So I think that wraps it up.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd give it a 4 out of 5. What would you give it, Sean?
If I were to watch the whole thing, I probably would have gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. So we'll say a possible 4 out of 5.
I'd give it some D's.
Okay.
D's nuts.
All right, well, that wraps it up for BGN at the movies.
All right. Yeah. See you guys.